96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. That sounds good, doesn't it? Collard greens, candied sweets, macaroni and cheese, chitlins, pig feet, gravy smothered fried chicken. Did I forget the corn pudding? That's pudding, not pudding. How about that for a soul food sampler? Well, as part of our Black History Month series tonight, we are talking about redefining soul food for the next generation. What it was and what it could be. Well, my guests tonight are Andrea Jones with the Akakeek Foundation. It's a historical and cultural preservation organization. They do a lot of stuff down there. Tambra Ray Stevenson, founder of the Native Soul Kitchen, and Christopher Bradshaw, executive director of the youth leadership organization Dreaming Out Loud. There's an event coming up in about a week or so about redefining soul food cooking, and we want you to know about it. But we're also going to talk tonight about soul food. Again, what it was, what it means to you, and is it time for us to take another look at what we're putting in our bodies? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about soul food, first of all, because soul food isn't just for Black folks, is it, Andrea?
No.
It's not. and that's I think that's really the reality. Yes, historically, soul food existed in the purview of the African American community, but a lot of people are really enjoying it in its traditional sense. But there have been some changes. But first, let me ask, why redefine soul food?
I think I didn't answer that. So I think redefining soul food is a necessary goal because of the problems that we have with health in our communities. Mm-hmm. So let me give you a number. Okay, the number is 71. 71% of residents of Prince George's County are obese or overweight. Mm-hmm. 71 is also the percentage of food establishments that are fast food restaurants in Prince George's County. So the problem is especially bad in Prince George's County, but it's also bad in D.C., where over half the residents are obese or overweight.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, this isn't just a Washington metropolitan area. This is a significant issue way down south.
Right.
It is a significant issue in the Midwest. It is a significant.
Where I'm from.
Yeah, exactly. Where are you from?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, you're from Oklahoma. That's west. They got cowboys out there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's we're west. Big cattle yard people out there.
Exactly.
And, you know, part of my issue and why I've come from it from a nutrition perspective, you know, just today I came from a war. 7 Health Alliance Network, where they're talking about diabetes and heart disease and how do we tackle these issues. And it's so easy to just beat up on soul food. And I actually have been in a position where just, you know, as an advisor to an organization, Oatways Preservation Trust, where last week we focused on African heritage and health and the idea about what redefining soul food means for us means going back to the origins. Right now, soul food, when it started about in terms of the name around the 60s or so, really was about just putting a name on something that had been going on since slavery, which I call that survival food. And so now what we're looking at is how do we create food that is thriving for us? Mm-hmm. And so that means for me of going back to not just cut soul food establishments because we're cutting out Black businesses. People have built with Psyche, who's the other presenter in the next couple of weeks coming with us. We'll talk about black women in particular in the churches made a lot of money to help their families on these meals. So if we're mm-hmm. throwing away soul food, we're throwing away business opportunities in the community, and redefining it also means helping to revitalize the economies in those communities, but in a way that is promoting health and not disease, and being a part of the future and not the opposite.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about it, because I just ran down, you know, some of that foundational stuff as it relates to soul food. Look, right. I grew up on it, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm not a chitlins and pig feet person, but my grandparents were.
Right.
Okay, family from the South, and I wasn't kidding when I said gravy smothered fried chicken.
Right.
So it's
back
already
strokes.
Yeah, exactly. So where does, give me a little bit of history. Why is our soul food the way it is today?
Well, you can talk about denial of access to healthy foods. That was a traditional repercussion of slavery. People were denied access to their foods that they dined on when they were in their home cultures, in their native cultures. Mm-hmm. Andrea and Tamara both touched on different aspects of access. Andrea talked about the number of establishments that serve unhealthy foods in many of our communities, and Tamara talked about the economic opportunities that were often available for particularly women in our communities when it comes to the preparation of soul food. And I think that over time, yes, the preparation of soul food is changing or has changed, but also there's been a resurgence in folks looking back towards their cultural traditions and their foods and their overall health. But we always confront the access piece. It was a du jour denial. It was a de facto denial. Now it's economic barriers for folks being able to afford healthy food, and there's a proximity barrier for people to be able to reach healthy food.
We're talking about food deserts and the like.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk mm-hmm. about that. But Andrea, I want to get to this event that's coming up on the 21st.
First, yeah.
Tell me about that quickly, please.
Well, the event is going to feature three panelists, and it's going to be hosted by Juju Harris, who's a culinary educator. And of course, Tamara has a great background as a dietitian and is redefining soul food in her way. And Chris is there to address the food access issues. So I think we're going to have a lot of good, robust discussion. We've also
And when is it going to be specifically?
The time is from 4. 4 until 6:30, and it will be at Joe's Movement Emporium, which is in a great theater space in Mount Rainier, Maryland.
Okay.
So just outside D.C.
Is there a website or a place where you can
yes.
find information? I want to make sure that we share that before I take a break real quick.
Sure. If you go to akakeek.org, mm-hmm. you can find online tickets. They're only $5 a piece, and that does include food.
Go. Somebody's mm-hmm. got to pay to eat, yeah. akakeek.org. It's Soul Food Justice, Redefining Soul Food. It's coming up on the 21st.
Right.
21st, that's right.
So
that's
Saturday.
That's a week after Valentine's Day. After Valentine's Day. Something to think about. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phones, find out what people are saying about soul food, about eating, redefining it. This isn't just about cooking. This is about a change in mindset. Robert, Keith, Tez, and I believe that's LaRuvi. We're going to talk to you in a bit. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking tonight, as part of our Black History Month series, about redefining soul food for the next generation. What is it and what could it be? My guests are Andrea Jones with the Akakeek Foundation. It's a historical and cultural preservation organization. Tamara Ray Stevenson, founder of Native Soul Kitchen. And Christopher Bradshaw, executive director of the youth leadership organization Dreaming Out Loud. We're talking about soul food. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. 1-800-273-8776. Let me go to La Ruvi from Lexington Park, Maryland. I hope I have your name correct. What's on your mind?
Yes. It is La Ruvi Linnell.
Okay, thank you,
dear. And I'm from Lexington Park, St. Mary's County, Maryland.
Okay.
The mother county of Maryland. I'm a degree culinary and chef cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I have practiced my skills since before the Food Network, the Bravo show, and before all of the hobbyists wanted to be the pros.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion this evening is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with soul food. It is the way it is prepared that sometimes people give it a bad name.
So what do you mean by that,
LaRuby? There's so many options in which it is prepared. There's nutritional ways it can be prepared, as well as gourmet. You do not have to add a lot of fat and grease. That is not professional.
Okay, but let me say this, LaRuby. My grandmother wasn't a professional. Most of the people that cooked soul food, at least when I was growing up in the 70s, were not professional. Soul food was not prepared in restaurants, per se. It was prepared in the home. It was prepared with fat back and hog maws. And, it, you know, the smoked turkey thing, which I think is really great, is really a newcomer to this issue. And so, you know, I kind of take issue with that. I think that, you know, when it comes to the modern way of looking at soul food, I would venture to say there's a lot wrong with the way it was prepared back in the day. Because
that
there was
a, back in the day.
And that's my point. That's my point. So go ahead.
New generation.
Okay, you didn't say that. So go ahead.
The new generation may not be preparing it that way. So if it was in the past, then maybe most of the people have passed on. But today, there's still that same concept. As a matter of fact, Kim Kardashian was just on the E! Network saying things that are not true about soul food.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, because I Kim Kardashian is probably the last person that I would use as an expert related to anything having to do with soul food or otherwise. But that's just my opinion. But please, go right ahead.
Comment on, I think that there's a lot of misinformation in the media about soul food. Psyche has a whole chapter in her book about the movie Soul Food and how it has affected what white people think of soul food and what it is and what it is not. And so, you know, there's comedy routines. You know, Chris Rock has his thing about the big piece of chicken. You know, and so a lot of people get their ideas and that are just continually perpetuated. And I think there's a lot more diversity in the African-American diet that probably isn't being addressed.
I think
and
so, LaRuby. Thank you.
Welcome her to that event,
right?
On February 21st.
Well, and certainly you should attend the event. Go to akakeek.org. It's coming up on the 21st. There's more information about it, because then you would probably have an opportunity to express your opinions about soul food. But again, like I said, Kim Kardashian is not the person that I would go to when it comes to questions about soul food. I need to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Mark, Robert, Keith, and Tez. Want to hear your thoughts about transitioning from what we knew soul food to be to what it is now, and how to help some communities make healthy choices when the options seem to be non-existent. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a moment with Jeff Brown and The Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be back in a moment.